This morning's title for the sermon is Work and the Goodness of God. And it's sort of in line with the sermon series, The Real God, that we, the session we did this week on goodness of God. So I trust and I know that we are all aware of His goodness, especially during this week. And today the aim is to really speak about two very important parts of our life, because both God and how we view God and work is important in our lives. It's both two big parts of our life. And so for us to be effective as Christians in this world, it's important that we have a good grip and a good view of these things. Just personally, myself, I think why it's relevant for me and maybe for others of you as well is just the times that we're in. Myself personally, I've worked from home most of the time since last year. And work is a big part of my life as well, and it takes a lot of our time and energy. And I must say that the idea of working from home is a nice idea, and I do enjoy it. Don't get me wrong, but the picture of maybe the ideal picture of this peace and joy that it. This opportunity for a wonderful peace and joy in the household isn't exactly what I experience, and we, and now myself in the home. Work becomes, the lines become blurred sometimes of where work stops and where family starts, and the poor girls need to sometimes just keep themselves busy when I need to keep working, and the same for Danielle as well, and I'm sure you can relate. So, that's where it comes from, and I just felt like this morning, let's get a biblical view and a perspective. Let's just align our thoughts and our mind with God and His design for work. And I'm going to start off with with the scripture, Romans 8:28. It speaks of God's goodness. And let's read it. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." So there's not, we can't question too much what God's heart is and what the meaning of the scripture is. When we read it, it's clear that His will towards His children is good. And the context within which this is written, this chapter and this portion of the chapter, it's in context with suffering and the world being fallen in sin. And it speaks about that part of the whole earth is groaning and yearning to be redeemed, it says, from the corruption that sin has caused and the suffering and so on. And then it says that the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, actually intercedes for us all the time in this fallen world, in our circumstances that's hard and difficult, that God's Spirit intercedes for us, and then the next line says, so that all things will work together for the good. And then it ends, this portion, it ends with us being ultimately glorified, the call to be glorified, so, or you can say perfected. So we know that one day pain and this corruption and suffering will all be gone, and we will be free of it. And glorified with God, basically. Just if we look at this verse piece by piece, just quickly, all things, There's no misunderstanding that it's saying all things. So everything that you're currently experiencing right now, it speaks about that. And it works together. So it's saying, sort of, you can say that that God weaves together, He works together. Everything, whatever happens, whatever is going on, He works it together and for the good, so the ultimate good. And He is sovereign to know how to do that and when to do that exactly. But it's for those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. So whoever loves Him, whoever makes Jesus Lord of their life and live not for their own purposes, for their own will, but for God's will, basically. The scripture is true for all of us. All right, so we looked at there just God's heart, and I want to look at work as well, so just defining work a little bit. So I'm not going to try and pronounce the definitions, but there it is in any case, the Hebrew word and the Greek words for work, and there are lots of references to work in the Bible. You can see from Genesis to Revelations, and basically saying that business, employment, anyone who is occupied, any product, accomplishment, act, deed, things done. So basically anything that can be done can be defined as a work. Anything that you can do, any verb, is a work. But the interesting thing is that in the beginning when God created, yeah, the first time it comes up in the Bible, work. So God worked and He made everything. And then when Adam and Eve, when they sinned, there's a slightly different word for work used, because God said that He then basically declared a curse over work. And the work that, or the word that's used there is toil. So slightly different from work to toil, and the difference is it's basically it's work, but work with sorrow and work with pain, work with suffering. All right. So through the Bible, often they would interrelate between the two meanings, and but there are different words, lots of ones. Service, the work. Word also means worship in the Hebrew words. And so there's actually over 700 times that those words come up in the Bible. And so we can look through just now a biblical work view. So I've put up there just a non-exhaustive list of different sort of what can I call it, dimensions of work that we see in the Bible. Starting right from the beginning, from creation, like we now just discussed. And so we can see that work was good. God created it. He designed it from the start. Work is holy. And even in then John 5, it says that Jesus says, until now, I'm still working and God is still working. So it is still good. And rest, we see rest as one of the commandments that that we should rest. We should keep the Sabbath day holy. And also Mark 2 actually says that, Jesus says that the Sabbath isn't created, or man's not created for the Sabbath, but Sabbath for man. So it's for our good that we rest. God created it that way. We see order and authority. Okay, everywhere through the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, you see everything God did at order. So He created one thing on day one and another thing on day two. Look at Noah and the ark, exact measurements. I saw numbers, just how that the tribes each had their role, and with the tabernacle, each one, a little group, had to carry a certain pole and a certain curtain of the tabernacle. You know, Solomon and the temple, the exact instructions that they had to follow. And there's authority, so we need to expect there needs to be authority in work as well. In worship versus idolatry, so it's an interesting one because our work can and should be worship unto God, but work can also become an idol. So in the commandments, the first commandment is have no other gods before me. So if your work becomes your God, your idol, you place it higher than God, then it's not good. Okay, hard work is encouraged, and we see that throughout scripture. We see the farmer and lots of proverbs. Laziness, we know, is not good. God doesn't like laziness. And then we see seasons in work. So you're not always going to experience a constant same flow of work. We see there's sowing and there's reaping, for instance, in Ecclesiastes. And so we can also expect that in our life. And then there's the good news of grace and God's approval, that we don't need to work in Romans 3 for God's approval. That's one thing that is guaranteed, that Jesus said to us that it's by grace, it's a free gift from God, that we are saved and that we are approved by God. And no amount of works can make us loved by Him more. He's pleased by work, but we don't need to do it for His approval. Then good works and ministry. This is quite a wide topic, but we know there's work, that we work for our income, and then there's work that we do primarily for God, for serving Him, for ministering His word, and doing good for others around us. Then they really get paid for it, but it's out of thankfulness. And then purpose, work has purpose, always has purpose. It's a big part, like we said, of our lives, of our human life on earth. Is a big part of the purpose for our lives is to work towards something good, to improve things, but it's not the purpose. Okay, so God didn't just create us to work. He gave us a soul, He gave us a spirit, a mind, to worship Him. Matthew 22 is that part that the disciples asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? And of course He said to love God with all your heart and mind and soul. And so, that's not, work isn't the greatest purpose in life. And then, fortunately, so we said now that there's a curse, and unfortunately we as Christians as well, we're not immune to the pain and the suffering that's here on earth and that we have to experience, and the toil and the hard work, and it's not always nice, but there will come an end to it as well. In the same chapter, Romans 8, that we're speaking about God making it work towards His good, to our good. And in Revelations, we see that all sorrow and all pain will be taken away. All right, so I think from this we see, and I think it's just important for us to sort of do a check on our own view and our own approach towards work. And this morning, you know, work isn't bad. It's actually a good thing. God designed it. It's just how we go about it. It's about the balance. You know, there's lots of factors. It's about our heart and our attitude towards God. And we see, even in the Bible, throughout the Bible. People had to work. You saw a lot of vocations from farmers and fishermen to clothing making and smiths and all sorts of work. If you maybe find yourself sort of bitter and tired and worn out, or you find yourself perhaps just questioning work and the purpose and the reason to it, let's just return to that place to know that, yeah, God is in it. God is in our work as well. And maybe on the next slide, a few misconceptions about work. So, you know, say it's we start to develop maybe a bad feeling towards work. Work isn't bad, like we now said. Work in the secular world is bad. No, it's not. I actually read this little book, or looked through it a bit. I had this small book of what's his name, Ken Costa, and he's actually the chairperson for Alpha International, but he's also an international banker. So he and Nikki Gumbel of Alpha, they were at university together, and they grew up together, know each other, are friends. And he speaks about work and how he actually had to make a difficult choice between ministry and, well, not a difficult choice, but at one point he thought about it. But he's always been a banker, and he's good at it. He's, successful in his work. But the way that he speaks about work, and it's just the good work environment, or how that work is, and the secular world is there for us to redeem the workspace. And it's not something that has to be viewed as bad or negative. We come there to show the difference, and people see our values, our priorities in our workplace, and even just through that, people can see something else. It's the whole thing of God showing through us to the world something of how things are supposed to be, something of His kingdom and His of heaven, really, on earth. So that was quite encouraging for me. Another misconception: ambition to achieve good things are bad. We almost sometimes feel guilty, like bad, to want better stuff, better things in our lives, and conditions to change. That's not bad. Any good thing that becomes the ultimate thing, they say, that is an idol. That's bad. But wanting good things, God created good things. It's especially for us as Christians, that next point says, to think that we're not supposed to be happy as Christians. Often we become so, and almost rightfully, we know that there's almost a lot more going against Christians, because we have the spiritual world we have to fend off as well, and so on. But definitely God's heart for us and for His children is to overcome and to live a good life, to live joyfully, and to be happy. We don't have to be feeling we have this massive responsibility. We almost sometimes overestimate our contribution that we have to make, because it's not in our strength, it's God. So then the grass is always greener on the other side. We actually had a nice discussion in small group, and small group was such a blessing this week, speaking about God's goodness. And we said that God always knows we have these ideals for our life, but then God often, He has a different view of how to show His goodness to us than this perfect, maybe wrinkle-free life that we expect, and this beautiful life that we see in the media and the market. marketing. And then survival of the fittest, it's the idea that the strongest survives, but the Bible says that God uses the weak to put to shame the mighty. So, yeah, that's also not true. Okay, let's get into the Word a little bit more and just see what... Let's just align our thoughts with the image of God, who He is, and also of work through Scripture. So, the first one up here is Psalm 16, verse 5 to 6. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. Often we think that hard work is the way and the only way, and it assures blessing and success and happiness, but it's God who determines. He holds our lot. He is our source. He gives us according to His will, and He decides. So, yeah, if you are someone who find yourself overworking, remember that. Then, the next verse in Matthew 7, verse 7 to 11. And this is really that portion that the psalmist writes about that's so good. And if you don't experience that, you experience that good portion, that goodness of the lines just falling well for you at the moment in your circumstances, keep asking, keep knocking, and keep seeking. We know that God never stopped. He never said He's going to stop His provision or His goodness towards us. He's still good. He's always good. Matthew 7, verse 7 to 11 says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Your Father who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask Him." Okay, I skipped that middle part. But the point is, this is Jesus speaking. He's saying to us, keep asking. If you're in lack, if you need work, keep asking. All right. Now, it's important to make sure that we are busy with the right things for us to be effective as Christians in the world, to be different from the world. We need to be busy with the right things. Psalm 127, verse 1 to 2 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He gives His beloved sleep." And now I feel convicted right there at that moment, because it's often what I do. Sit up late. Do get up a bit later sometimes for working from home, but make up for it. But yeah, the point is, if we can ask God and devote our work, our plans for the week. You know, it's not necessarily in every moment while you're working, but make sure that what you keep yourself busy with is actually going to be of value and effective. And what is His blessing? There's this explanation or this example given of a wise and an unwise worker. You know, you get the rebellious one who just does whatever he wants. You get the one who sort of, he does good, but he doesn't really check in with his boss if he's doing the right thing. He just does what he thinks is good. And then there's the one who first asks his master, his boss, what he wants from him, and then he goes to make sure that he does that well. And he's effective in that way. So to be effective is doing the right job right. Not just doing your job right, but doing the right job right. And for us as Christians, we have to be effective to be good stewards of our time. All right, then we get to riches of the world. And Proverbs 23 verse 4 says, be wise enough not to wear yourself out trying to get rich. Okay, so make a good choice. We have to choose. We know that we cannot serve Mammon and God. We have to choose. Which one are we going to serve? Which one's going to be better for us? 1 Timothy 6:17 also says, not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. So, yeah, just giving us wisdom there again. Choose wisely. Choose who are you serving. God's goodness is so much better than anything else that we can choose. Psalm 31 verse 19 says, oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you, in the presence of the sons of men. There's nothing that comes close. We know it, and like we said, it's in the blessings, it's in the receiving, it's in the giving, it's in the relationships, the people around us. It's not just about these big and fancy ideals that we have in life. It's often the small things and the things that are not seen or overlooked. So the right attitude and response for us in our work and approach towards work is thankfulness. Psalm 37:16 says, a little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. And then Colossians 3:23, this classic verse is about how to work in thankfulness towards God. It says, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. So always check your attitude, check your way, and for what purpose, what motives are you working for? And then there's three verses on relationships and sort of relationships and good works thrown together here onto one. lots of us, you know, today's world and this sort of career-driven society or life that we work in, it's easy to become sort of self-centered about your career, about your work. And probably the best cure to that is to decide to be a blessing to others. You know that as soon as we start giving, as soon as we feel sort of poor in ourselves, when you give and when you start blessing others, you actually start to feel richer and it is more blessed to give. So Philippians 2 verse 4 says, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Yeah, so I could just discuss. And then Psalm 37 verse 21, the wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. And this is so speaking, so typical of like, people's just a self-centered way of mentality versus actually, yeah, trusting that we can be merciful, we can give, we can make time for others, even in our work, outside of our work, and that is good. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So, yeah, the good works side, besides just our earning, our living, so to speak, and work, is also important to the Lord, is doing good works. Now, I want to read a little, just a little example of this, of faith at work. It's not on the slides, so you'll have to look at me. But it's a little example of this, relationships and our work and faith at work. So it says, two fellows working side by side in an office doing exactly the same job. So you have two people. You have person A, who runs on the fast track, uphill race, fighting the next round on the ladder, climbing higher and grabbing glory. Okay, so this is one picture of this one guy. And then you've got person B next to him, in the same office, they're doing the same thing, same task. But person B finds great reward in mentoring others. He counsels, he exhorts, and he encourages. And just so that different lookout on their work, you know, one's all about me and the other one's all about others, serving as well. And it's clear for everyone to see, probably, that person B is the Christian in this picture, without even having to tell them that, possibly in work. So, now may our work and our attitude towards work, may it speak to people about our faith and God's goodness, that we can trust Him. And then a last verse slide is on rest. It's sort of rest and worry, and not worry. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 12 says, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, but the abundance of the rich will not permit him to sleep. So it was interesting for me, this verse sort of saying that money isn't a cure. It doesn't make you immune to worrying. Doesn't matter. So, yeah, a guy with very little, with just enough to eat, I actually skipped that little middle part, but it says if he has much or little to eat, he will sleep sweet. So, honest work, day's work, is always good, you feel good. But yeah, if you've got a lot of money, it's not going to cure your worries. And why I'm saying it is, I think, yeah, a lot of people are worn out and tired today in today's world and work. And worry is one of the things that makes us the most tired. And that's why Jesus in Matthew 11:28 says that we must come to Him if we're tired. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. You know, we're not supposed to, and we don't need to worry. But we do. We all do sometimes. But it's that it makes us free. It's this this rest that the Christian has, that we can come to Jesus whenever we need to. Maybe the hard work, the physical hard work, may still be there, and it's good. Hard work is still good. The being worn out physically, getting tired, sickness and those things, they are not good, and we don't accept that, and we can pray for that. But just the emotional tiredness and that spiritual tiredness, yeah, we can come to the Lord, and like we said, He has won our approval. We don't need to work for it. So, yeah, what a blessing. This is a slide, so a little picture up here now, so I need to always put one picture in somewhere in a sermon or some diagram of something. And this one speaks about biblical priorities. Now, this is a view. I said I read that this little book. It's called Man in the Mirror, and it's written for men, but literally probably for anyone. And the idea is to look yourself in the mirror and be honest with yourself about how you're living differently from this world as a Christian in today's life. It's easy to become very much seeking the same things, seeking the same priorities than the world. And so this Patrick Morley, I took this from his portion from his book. And I must say, I quite agree with it. He describes five of God's priorities, and what's God's priorities should ultimately be our priorities as well. And he didn't do that. This is my own diagram, by the way. He just said 1 to 5, and I made it a bit creative, yeah? So I made love God the biggest, for obvious reasons, and I made it touch all the other four priorities because I feel like that touches everything, and God needs to be involved in all of our life, everything we do. In everything that we do, there's opportunity for us to show love to God and thankfulness and gratitude towards God. We're not talking about work, and in every deed, in everything we do, our heart can be towards doing it in a good attitude and worship unto God. And then loving others, so our work can, you know, it affects people around us and our families. I mean, how many families, marriages, you know, gets affected and sometimes suffer because of work and because of wrong priorities, because of the wrong, overworking and, working for money, and we know that money causes lots of problems in our relationships, and you know, those kind of things start to show cracks in relationships when we start to make the wrong thing bigger in our lives. So loving others, we know that's with the command to love God, that's the second most important for God is people around us. And then work is important, and it's like we know, I mean, making up such a big part of our lives. And what he writes in his book, he says lots of things, but some of it, he says, we need to redefine our work for ourselves. We need to redefine our needs and our plans. So like in James 4, it speaks about that we shouldn't say we're going to do this, we're going to, but if God wills. So redefine your needs and your plans. Like we said, God knows best what we need. And then redefine your boss. Who's your boss? Work for God, not for your boss. And then also redefine your own role, to be not on the throne of your own heart, of your own life, but your role is a steward. God is he owns us. He's our God, and so we're not God. We can't control everything. So that's work. It's a big priority for God as well. And then good works. So good works is also important to God, and it's also something that's worth time for. There's probably three sides to it. And good works is really to tell people, introduce people to Jesus, tell them about him. And then secondly, to disciple people to become like Jesus. And then thirdly, is to care for the poor and the needy. So that's sort of the good works definition that we're looking at. Of course, there's many other good works, but that falls, I think, under loving others as well. So just being pure, kind and good and our behavior towards anyone, that's also good works. And then rest. So in our work and in the work world, rest isn't the big priority, but for God it is actually. Jesus even, he finds it important for us to rest. So we should too. And there's so much about it in the Bible. Through the Old Testament, God always had these times of rest, times of festivals, times of family, and God Himself obviously rested as well. So, I think the picture here that we're sketching is just getting our priorities, choosing well that what we spend our time on. If you go a bit further, there's a few quotes on there that I found quite profound. Hard work is a virtue. There's dignity. So to be a virtue, it means it has dignity when it is part of a well-balanced schedule. So sometimes you work so, you can be working so hard and you can be just really nailing yourself. But it's not really a blessing to those around you. And then God is sovereignly in control. So we know, if we believe that God is good, and this is coming back to Romans, that He is sovereign. He will make things work together for our good. If we set His priorities first and love Him and do His will, He will take care of the rest. And that served me. I really, in this week, just was really, just almost really overcome and blessed. And I just had this revelation again how that God is so intimately involved in our lives. Yes, our life is not about us. It's not, God doesn't revolve around us at all. But the fact that He is definitely and ultimately present in our lives, He hears our prayers, it's such a blessing. And then the effective Christian finds time for all of God's priorities. If we do really believe that God is sovereign and in control, it makes it so much easier to make time for all of the things, and all of the things. So, and look, there's also different phases of our life, so it won't always look the same. The amount of rest you get as a young mom might be less than at different times, and that is also true. Or as a young working man, you usually have to work harder for less pay. That's also true. But I think as long as we have these five sort of priorities at least in our schedule, in our calendar, day and week, we do good, and we can trust that we are doing God's will when we do this, and that He is also blessed by that. So to conclude, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. When Jesus is Lord of our lives, when we place Him above everything else, in other words, we love Him more than anything else, And when we live for His purposes, His will, His Lord, He decides, not I decide about everything in my life, then we can believe it, that He is sovereignly involved in making all things work together for the good of us. And I want to encourage you, each one of you this morning, to believe it, to live as if you believe it, to work like you believe it. And yes, maybe this morning we need to set some things right. I know I had to just do some introspection for sure. And maybe you need to just confess this morning before the Lord and say, Jesus, be the Lord of my life again. Be the King on the throne of my heart again. Then do that. Invite Jesus into that space in your life again this morning. Or otherwise, maybe if you've been working and pushing just too hard and life is just a struggle and you don't get the fulfillment and the joy out of work and life at the moment, ask God this morning which of the priorities, the ways that you spend your time in your life, maybe just need some change and correction. Ask for His wisdom in that. Yes. So, and if there's anything else about work, like we said, ask, keep on asking, and keep on knocking.